Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was our fault. We made a mistake. Spider said it was clear. I wasn't clear, and, you know, I didn't want to tear my car up, tear his car up either. I respect everybody, and I demand respect. And, you know, I apologized to the guy when he came over the car, explained to him what happened, and then he took it to another level when he started calling me an idiot and whatever else. And I don't appreciate that. I'm not going to take it. I told him how I feel. I called him out. He didn't show. You know, so, you know, I'm good with it if he's good with it, but I'm not going to be disrespected by no means.
Yeah, I guess I had a dinner date at Applebee's last night that I didn't find out until it was too late. It's a shame. Love their riblets and boneless wings, but...
Welcome to Meet Me at Applebee's, your number one unrefined motorsports podcast. We had to switch tables at Applebee's tonight because the server managed to spill our margaritas all over the goddamn table and soaked the bench. So we're back at a new table.
Yeah, way too sticky.
Our wires were short-circuiting.
Yeah, so we're back, and we're back at our full force, full throttle, whatever. We're back home. Everybody's back home. Ashley's back. I'm back. Rob's back from tour. Rob, give your little tour thanks and all that stuff.
Yeah, so just a little background, and we already recorded like 10 minutes of this episode. The audio was so bad we had to start over, so this is gonna sound real fucked up for the first 10 minutes as we're plowing through the same material, but I'm not ashamed or bummed out to have to say this again. Thank you so much to everyone who came out and saw us play over the past week. Had a great fucking time, particularly in Charlotte. I don't know if there was any short tracks running on Thursday night when we were there, but if there were no photographers there because they're all at the Thirsty Beaver hanging out with us. So thanks to everyone who came out. Again, Blake Harris and Kyle Beckman, those are two guys, very great photographers that happened to be in the house that night. Matthew Dillner showed up. Frank Bolter was there, our former co-host and good buddy of mine, Kyle Armstrong, as well as Jay Pennell, who you heard on the show a couple weeks ago. Just a bunch of great people. My buddy James Honeycutt was there. Tons of just racing dudes standing in the corner yelling at me. And that was real fucking fun. So thanks to them and everyone else who came out to a show. It was a great tour. And if you haven't seen Charlie Marie yet, you should go see her next time because she's fucking awesome. Every show was killer. And a quick shout out to our good buddy Donkey, who we mentioned on the show before. We had us a real nice time in Philly, lighting the karaoke machine on fire over at Ortlieb's. So that was a fucking blast. But again, love you guys very much. And we'll be back on the road real soon, and we'll make some more memories. But yeah, Charlotte, God, I fucking love that town so much. So fun. How you doing, true love? You got your teeth out? You have little zen holes there?
My teeth are intact. They're good.
Yeah. Did they let you keep them? They took them away from you, didn't they? I think you said that last week, right?
Well, they took my four wisdom teeth, and they didn't send them home with me. Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess they're just in the trash. R.I.P.
That sucks.
Yeah, but I'm bummed. I missed.
There's some guy walking around. Yeah, there's some guy walking around with dentures that has your wisdom teeth in. So,
yeah, well, they served me well for, I won't say how many years, but a lot of years.
Well, I don't know how much racing that y'all got to watch. I got bits and pieces of pretty much the whole weekend. But we were in Austin this week, and really talk about IndyCar all that much. I don't guess. It was kind of a bummer. The $1 million race where you only took home $500,000 to win. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Formula One, what? Max Verstappen didn't win. So that's something. Yeah. The guy who won the race here. So that's something. So good for Carlos Sainz. Hire this fucking guy, please. Somebody. Maybe Williams can pick him up. Lead their drivers and put other guys in that'll destroy the car. So maybe Carlos. No. IndyCar, Formula One.
someone else will find out about that shit for us because none of us will be watching. But the IndyCar thing happened. It was pretty boring. I know True Love and I caught a little bit of it. Guys running 8 to 10 seconds off the pace. Nothing happening. Just real boring. So good for IndyCar. Just keep that momentum going, guys.
Yeah, kind of a neat facility, but definitely not meant to have normal race fans in there. And if they're going to keep going forward with these all-star races, and I'll say this, have a $1 million deal and market that, maybe up that number a little bit because $1 million
world is $7 eggs.
And the cars themselves being more than what you get to win at this point. So,
Alex
Costco. Yeah, and he's going to buy a bunch of diapers. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, once I found out that racetrack is in Coachella, I was like, oh, that tells me
everything I need to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck that. Get the fuck out of here.
It's not all that far from Fontana, where that used to be really on the map. But, yeah, weird facility. Cool facility. If I had a lot of money, maybe I'd hang out
there. If you're rich.
If I'm rich, yeah. But definitely kind of a damp deal for IndyCar fans who now have to face down a huge break before the next race. And I know they kind of stuck this in there as a way to give fans something to watch. But, yeah, not a great way to have your all-star race in between the first race and the next race of the year, which is, what, like a six-week break or something like that?
Yeah. Weird.
Not great. So.
Nope, but one series that didn't have any breaks was NASCAR. They were at COTA this weekend, as mentioned. First road course race of the season. It was fine. True Love is really the only one who watched the truck race. I know Rob obviously was very busy, and I was listening to it, but I was annoyed with DraftKings not letting me bet on Connor Zilish, so that kind of took all the wind out of my sails to pay attention to
such bullshit. So he just wasn't included at all.
Was not in the lineup. Don't know how that happened. Was not in the lineup because I would at least put.
He's underage, so you can't bet on underage children.
You can't bet on children.
You know, maybe there's something to that. I've never really thought about that, but I guess that could be the case.
Who knows?
Could be.
But he did put on a show. The whole race.
Yeah. He didn't start off very well though.
No,
he cooked the shit out of that first corner from what I hear.
He did set a new track record though and get the pole in his first race.
Yep.
And then he blew it.
And that did lead to a nice little Twitter exchange between him and Jesse Love after the race, both shitting on each other's mistakes. So that was cool.
Yeah, Jesse Love asked him what brake marker should he use in the turn one at COTA. This is, of course, Brett Griffin went on Twitter Brett Griffin went on Twitter, who keeps coming up on this show in a positive light, which again,
not so much this week. This week he was shitting on Shane Van Gisbergen a bit, so
he's been hanging out with Ricky Stenhouse.
Yeah, but he was saying Connor Zilich might be on the show this week, so if you have any questions for him, hit us up. And Jesse Love, break into turn one at COTA. It's the best way to save fuel on super speedways. So the children are fighting. They're going to meet in the lunchroom at whatever high school, wrestle around on the ground with their backpacks on, which is tradition in high school. So can't wait to see if that turns into a rivalry. But yeah, it seems like Connor Zilich, despite his start, he really put on a show, and all the hype from Trans Am is going to carry over to NASCAR. You can kind of see why people are putting all their eggs in his basket. So,
yeah, he finished fourth, so
not bad,
not too bad.
Would have been good on DraftKings.
Yeah,
wouldn't have been the best pickup on DraftKings, though.
I would have bet $0.50 on him to get a top five or something. So I would have gotten a return on it, but whatever.
Oh, right. The prop bets. Right. I see. I got you. Yeah. Talking about the actual like fantasy lineup stuff. That would have not been ideal, but yeah, that makes more sense.
You also had Marco Andretti lose his entire rear wheel housing.
Jesus.
That is a thing.
That was fucked up. When I heard Marco was out of the race, I was ready to throw him under the bus yet again for sucking, but I don't know if there's really anything you can do on two wheels. So we'll give Marco a break.
Just hire a better welder.
How the fuck does that happen, man?
Yeah.
Call up Group 1001 and ask for some more money, or whatever his sponsor is. Whatever the fuck that is.
But after that, there was the Xfinity race, which I did watch, and to be expected, it was a great race. I mean, you look at everybody that was signed up. Obviously, SVG and Allmendinger were in it. You had Ty Gibbs and Kyle Larson. I don't know, was Bell in it? I feel like he was for some reason. Chastain was in it. No, Chastain was in the truck race. Never mind. But I mean, even with those four guys, I mean, you figured one of them would have taken the win. And
Gibbs
Kyle Larson was in it.
Yeah, Gibbs was in it. You know, all those guys were up front all race, which was to be expected. SVG probably would have had the race won had those late race cautions not happened. He managed to take out both Ty Gibbs and Allmendinger on one of the restarts. And unfortunately, the last green-white checkered, he got by Austin Hill. They had Yep. They had a very fun battle with SVG caving in the front end of his car to try to take him out, and Kyle Larson snuck in and got a bonus win for the weekend.
Woo! Yay! Real stoked about that. I went and had a shot at the bar. I made sure I had this on my phone the whole time we were sound checking, and I was mostly absent mentally from that, but I was very excited to see a Kyle Larson win. I went and had a little shot of whatever well bourbon they had at, by the way, Dirty Nelly's in Charlottesville. Y'all ever been there?
No.
I've never been to Charlottesville.
I can't say I've actually been to Charlottesville either, but I've been to Dirty Nelly's there. It's right on the edge of town. That's a fun bar if you're ever in town. So a little heads up for you.
Yeah. I'm never excited for a Larson win, but if it means Austin Hill doesn't win, it's fine.
It's a net positive for the...
Yeah. Yeah.
And to be expected, there was a tiny bit of a standoff between Austin and SVG afterwards, but unlike a lot of the children that Austin has punched in the past, he was definitely not taking that energy to SVG, who, while he might not have the weight advantage, he has the height advantage, and as an Australian, that's one of the last nationalities I'd ever want to fuck with. So, it was pretty quiet between those two afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, no thanks.
We did have Kligerman and Sage Karam arguing after the race, though.
So. Yeah, Sage Karam wanted some, but...
Yeah, they were saying bad words to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck that kid, too. Whatever.
I figured you would have liked him being the IndyCar guy, but I guess not.
Yeah, not really.
I don't even know what they were arguing about. I never saw the incident. So.
Well, that's much like Fox's normal broadcasting. Yeah. A lot of the stuff on track got missed, so we didn't see necessarily what happened there, but it is what it is. But on to Sunday, which was it was fine. There was no quote-unquote natural cautions, that nobody wrecked, nothing crazy or chaotic happened. It was
plenty of spins, but nothing worth bringing the yellow out, because that track is 67 miles long.
Yeah,
so they can kind of get away with it a little bit.
Yep. Really, the talk of the weekend throughout all three series was the track limit issues. A lot of guys getting penalties for running off track, whether it be on purpose or getting pushed off track by other people. So, you know, that brought up issues in all three races.
Such a bummer.
And Coda is the only track that NASCAR really deals with this type of situation. So, it's not something they really talk about throughout the season, but it was an issue. Yeah. It knocked SVG back from second to 27th, and a bunch of different guys got penalties on Sunday. So, for a William Byron win. None of us love William Byron, but I mean, he had the best car, even though Toyota.
Computer boy, he learned on a computer, folks. Like 10 years ago.
I would, like him a little more if he just stop it with those fucking hats.
Yeah, I hate that shit. Which you can buy at Hendrick Motorsports for $150. It would look like him. So that's cool.
Yeah, every race I go to, there's at least one guy walking
around. I don't know why the fuck you'd want to wear a giant foam hat around a racetrack, because it's usually 600 degrees out there.
And windy.
I mean, it does provide a bit of extra shade. I guess that's the only benefit to it.
I've never seen a female wearing one. It's always...
Oh, God, no.
Dude.
No,
that's a...
Take that one to the bank, listeners. If you're considering buying one of those... Notice the demographic, but.
But yeah, I don't really have a whole lot else to say about this race. I mean, it was a race.
Let's talk about my favorite driver, Corey LaJoie. Best qualifying effort of his entire career, starting fifth and then blowing it on lap one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
In true joy fashion, and taking Truex and Bubba out with him in the process. They both rebounded. He still finished 25th. So,
was he above? I was gonna say, was he above or below Carson? Because I didn't check that.
So that's a good question.
I'm looking now. I feel like Carson was top 20. Now that you mention it, but I'm looking it up now. Either way, nobody likes to see Corey LaJoy do well, so I was annoyed with his qualifying position. And, you know, seeing him shit the bed yet again was wonderful.
House of Art finished 22nd.
Yep, so two positions ahead of his team. Yeah.
Good.
Suck. And shout out to Austin Dillon for another solid 25th place finish. That's going to look real good on the old scorecard for him.
LaJoy laying on the ground after the race.
He said he cramped up. Yep.
And yet again, Ricky Stenhouse defending America, taking out Kamui Kobayashi, taking him out yet again. He got dumped by both Stenhouse and Barry, although Barry, I think, was, you know, a little less egregious.
It's like a three-wide deal, you know. I don't think that one was as egregious as Stenhouse's. But to be fair, Kamui, he is a habit of, like a lot of Japanese drivers do, not to completely profile, but they are really into dive-bombing people. Mm. Super aggressive, and I guess he'd been doing a little bit of that, and maybe that informed Stenhouse's decision to, you know, start World War 2.5 again.
Well, Fox was terrible at showing replays, so we will never know what happened.
Yeah, well, there's so much track to cover, you know? Like, you can't afford bringing more cameras in.
Just get a bunch of nerds with your drones. Stick them out there.
Yeah, another little highlight here, and I got to be honest, without 100% sure what this was about. I guess Christopher Bell got Nick Halbush pretty good.
Yeah, he spun him out.
And then Kyle Busch went over there and just put the fear of God into Christopher Bell, knocked the pleat right out of his Hagars. And that was really funny to me.
Oh, man, he looked truly terrified.
Yeah, Bush has got a few inches on him, and a whole host of unresolved anger issues. You know, don't let the sunny, rich, white persona on Instagram where him and his wife dancing shit get to you. He's still a dog when it comes to that shit.
He's got that RCR rubbing off on him.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because Denny said his view of that whole interaction was that was Christopher Bell showing respect and just listening to what Kyle had to say. That's what he took away from that. So
the eyes
definitely tell a story. Yeah,
eyes don't lie.
But I like that very much. I mean, William Byron winning, like, whatever. Again, none of us are huge fans, but he did kind of spank everybody. Christopher Bell would have had something for him, I think, if they hadn't botched a pit stop. And I don't know, William was kind of the man all weekend, so no surprises there. And I know a lot of people didn't like that race very much. I thought it was good. It's a fine road course race.
It was fine. It's hard to follow Bristol. Any race following Bristol is going to be fine.
Agreed. Yeah, especially with the track limit thing. Again, COTA's the only place that's a grade one FIA circuit, which means there's, like, no grass really anywhere, at least on the new circuits. And F1, it was built for F1, so they have a particular system of warning drivers when they're taking liberties. Yeah. So it's a little shocking to see that in NASCAR in the first place. And number two, I guess there wasn't any warnings issued to the drivers. Yeah. So
if there was warnings, maybe I would have been okay with it. But there were zero warnings.
But also in a series when drivers were allowed to go into the fucking parking lot, you know, completely defy what the track is supposed to be, I can see why there's a little confusion there. But again, I've never been big on COTA being a NASCAR facility in the first place for that reason. It just doesn't really, it's kind of the same thing with Road America. I know it sold well, and that those are fine road races as well. But something about there being a facility so huge that just doesn't really jive with the spirit of what the sport is. But that's just a personal opinion. I don't know. That's just me.
Well, who knows? We might not be going there too much longer anyways. So rumors say. Everybody, you go back and forth at this place, so.
Yeah. If it sticks around, I'm not going to be mad about it. It's a really beautiful place for photos to get taken. Lots of sick photos of cars flying under that big old Lone Star flag and guys having all four tires off the ground. Pretty sick.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else to talk about from the race. I mean, yeah, following Bristol is going to be tough, and now we've got Richmond to follow this race, which isn't going to be a huge improvement. So,
We're going to see if the actual short track package they brought to Phoenix makes any difference on a shorter track. Richmond's only about three quarters of a mile, a little less than that. So we're going to see if these changes happen. I guess we can just hope it's cold. Sorry, Brady. You know,
it's going to be 7 o'clock on Sunday. So
They're using the same tires that they used at Phoenix. So
yeah, I guess we'll see. I am definitely looking forward to Richmond. I think it's going to be. I have my fingers crossed for a fun race, but
that makes one of us.
Yeah, I know that people aren't very excited about the start time either, being on a Sunday night, but I don't know. I kind of like there being a 7 o'clock Sunday night sort of prime time race. I enjoy that personally. So
I don't mind myself either.
You got a Monday off. A lot of people don't work on Easter. A lot do, but a lot don't. I guess that's the reason behind holding it then. Hopefully the weather holds out and it doesn't cause this race to get pushed back into 2025, but
as of right now, we're looking good. You know, 70s and sunny on Sunday, so we should be fine.
I look forward to a day after a day of hunting eggs with the kids and all that, and rolling around in the yard and eating ham or whatever it is you do on Easter to have a NASCAR race to come home to and not have to watch it on my fucking phone. So,
yep. Well, what else happened in the NASCAR world this weekend?
Well, Nick Sanchez doesn't like being tagged in photos, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, we
tagged his ass getting chewed out by Matt Crafton last week, and that shit got popped within 30 seconds.
Immediately, he untagged himself. And we were, like, on his side, I feel like, more so in that argument, but he was not having it.
Yeah, I mean, very funny. We'll tag him again this week and see what happens.
Every week we'll just post the same picture of him getting choked out by
I think that's what we'll have to do. So. Yeah. Speaking of photos, lay some context on this, Brian.
So if you guys weren't aware, there's some investigations going on into P. Diddy, aka Puff Daddy, and some different charges and things he's being accused of, which we won't talk about here. But in saying that, his house was raided by the FBI yesterday, and
the Homeland Security.
Okay, so Homeland Security, even worse. Who the hell got the
TSA on his ass?
But regardless, there were some photos that came out on TMZ of what was going on at the house, and at one point, both of P. Diddy's sons were being held by the police, and one of them was wearing a Mark Martin shirt. So, yeah,
not just a Mark Martin shirt.
Mark Martin Viagra shirt.
So, in light of the charges being levied against old Diddler over here, it sets a tone.
But, that's a whole other.
I know NASCAR is all about this sort of crossover with hip hop music, and you know the all over prints kind of becoming streetwear and all that, always kind of has been. Yeah. I know they like that because it helps build the brand, especially at a time when more of everyone is watching this, but this is not what they're looking for, I don't think.
Well, again, if P. Diddy was wearing the shirt, it might be a worse look. But being that it's his kid that was just there, you know, we'll let that slide. It was just funny to be reading this article and all of a sudden I see a Mark Martin shirt. So and then from there, I guess NASCAR has a few different track news updates to talk about. I guess the first one is one everybody knows about is NASCAR is taking over Bowman Gray Stadium, or taking over the promotions at Bowman Gray Stadium. They've already got, you know, modifieds and other series that run there, but you have to imagine that some NASCAR series is going to run there, whether it be NASCAR mods or trucks. Who knows if Cup or Xfinity will go there, but you have to imagine something will happen there.
I mean, K&N's been there plenty of times. That's where Corey LaJoy got his first win.
His only one.
No, he won a modified race, you know. I was pissed about that too, but yeah. But yeah, I'm curious to see what comes out of that. I do love Bowman Gray. I know it's a very, for those of you who don't know what Bowman Gray is, it has quite the reputation of being a very chippy, violent place. Just look up some highlight reels. I don't necessarily think that is the true reputation of what actually goes on there, but it is the oldest track in the NASCAR collection, at least as far as I know. It's older than Martinsville or date. It's in the 40s they started running there, I believe. So definitely cool to have them in there. Who knows, maybe it's just a weekly series sanction and they're just taking that over, but I have a feeling, like you said, Brian, that we're going to see a little bit more out of that place, and I'm here for it. So they did test next gen came out, so.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it was a good way to test out for the Olympics or the LA Stadium race. So
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not totally different from that, folks. If you haven't seen it,
not at all. But definitely a cool. There's actually a really great series on Flow about that. There's been television series on cable in the past about both. All the more. There's some really deep family heritage there. Lots of folks have been racing there for generations. So definitely happy to see that. But the other place that's in conversation right now, and Jay and actually all of us talked about this on the show, is that Long Beach is actually going to have a percentage of ownership of the Grand Prix, which of course is a second to the Indy 500 prestige of IndyCar events. They draw hundreds of thousands of people out there for that event, and it seems like NASCAR is interested in getting involved. Both sides have been pretty coy about it. There's a article on racer.com about it that kind of lays out what's happening. Nobody's really committing, but it's the kind of language you see before you get an announcement. They're just not ready to say what's going on. Again, if we're going to add a road race in California, I'd much rather have it be Long Beach than the fucking... So I'll take it.
Yeah. And granted, it's not like IndyCar and NASCAR have had the best relationship over the years, but you would think it'd be a little bit easier to work together now with Penske in charge.
Yeah, and also IMSA's been racing there for a long time, and that's also a NASCAR property. I think a big reason why it's been shut down in the past, I said this on the previous episode where we discussed this a little bit, there is, I think there's a bit of concern about the space for all these series to be in there, because certainly they're not going to take that away from IMSA. I hope they don't, because that's a good race too.
Yeah.
But the more the merrier, you know. It's a festival of speed and motorsport in California, and NASCAR does not really have a market there outside of Sonoma now. And Long Beach is very accessible. It's in the middle of fucking city, and a lot of people already go. So I think it'd be a huge deal if they were able to land that. And I'm kind of got my little fingers crossed for it. If they can't go anywhere else in the LA area, then if not Long Beach, then, you know, let's just not do it. But that's not the answer. So.
Yeah. Please don't do it in a baseball stadium. Please don't. So I did hear that they might have a baseball game inside Bristol.
Oh.
I think the Braves and Texas are rumored. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they've done big SEC games in there before, so it's not unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool, though.
That would be kind of cool. I might go to that.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see
when they're planning to do that, but
curious to see how the outfield will be laid out in a place like that. Are they going to make these guys run up 38 degrees of base? I doubt it, but it would be cool if they didn't do that. So.
I don't really think. Do you guys have any other news bits to talk about? I don't think I have anything off the top of my head.
Dale Jr. announced he's running Bristol right after we recorded last week.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of
old news at this point. So I will be going back to that this fall. It'll be Andy Newsom's birthday, so it'll be a huge camp out. So if anyone wants to come camp out at Bristol this fall for Andy Newsom's birthday, put it on your little calendars.
Yeah. Find another foam party to find some moonshine in.
Yep, absolutely.
That sounds like a trip.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, I know you didn't watch any short track racing this weekend. I know it happened, though, because I was bopping in and out of stuff, but
I watched about as much short track shit as it is NASCAR stuff. It was just a little difficult to really watch it. So the short track septic tank this week is going to be a little shorter than normal. Really just going to run down some of the stats here. The big drama with Hudson O'Neill has sort of been resolved. He's driving for Kevin Rumley now, which is a pretty cool pickup. I don't know if he's going to run all that well going forward for a few weeks. I know changing to a different chassis and a whole new crew, especially after Rocket being as good as they are, is going to be an adjustment, especially for a driver, depending on who you ask, as good as Hudson O'Neill. But I'm looking forward to that. And the Romans are good people, so we'll see how that goes. Speaking of the Lucas Oil late models, Jonathan Davenport got a win at Atomic. He's now just a couple points shy of Ricky Thornton Jr. for the points lead there. And I did tune into Brownstown after soundcheck when I was in Charlottesville. I managed to cap one lap, and I got to see Devin Moran cross the line and get a win there. It looks like he is not going to be suspended by Lucas Oil for the tire doping transgressions that happened. So I was kind of expecting that because, again, the rule book kind of lays out that they can do that, but it seems like they chose not to do that option, and Devin Moran got a win out of it. So good for him.
It's funny you mentioned that because I was actually last night watching Bubba the Love Sponge had Devin on just the other day for like an hour, and they were talking about that. And Bubba was trying to put the idea in their head to start some sort of drivers union and have Davenport be in charge of it, and mainly to do with the tire testing deal, because Devin kept bringing up how the teams didn't get any of the samples back and there's no independent testing. It was just like, you know, there's so many different factors that go into those types of tests and what the track, what compound goes on the track and all that shit. So,
yeah, for sure. It was definitely a very quick example made of these guys without any sort of recourse allowed. So I would also be pissed if I were in their shoes.
Yep, but, and Bubba brought up the point as, you know, as a track promoter, it's like when you have some of your biggest names that can't run, like that's bullshit. Like you don't want, you know, you want everybody to show up that can show up and not be suspended for some weird rule that nobody really knows the definites of. So
yeah, for sure. But yeah, we'll see where Hudson O'Neill lands for the long term, but right now he's overdriving the 71 at Rumley, a nice matte black car. So if any of you run like a fucking brake company, or I don't know, like a tobacco pouch company, or like a bail bonds place, hit him up. He'll put that on your car, and you'll get some exposure on flow racing.
There you go.
Yeah, over to pavement though. Jack Baldwin getting a big win at the King of the Modifieds down at South Boston. That's Tommy Baldwin's kid. Always cool to see that. That was a great race. I recommend going back and watching that one. That's Rob Motz's race of the week right there, folks. It's really good shit. I'm going to go back and watch it again because I kind of got stuck to the highlight reel. But yeah, good shit. The Smart Tour is really kicking ass this year. It's been a lot of fun, and it was cool to see the Baldwin guys back in victory lane. Speaking of NASCAR, though, Bubba Pollard, of course, is racing this weekend at Richmond, which that'll be cool in the Xfinity Series. Bubba, of course, someone we've all wanted to see for a long time. We brought this up on the show previously, and I don't think anyone's mad about him getting an Xfinity ride and showing what he can do, especially in that series.
After seeing Bubba and seeing that Bubba absolutely fits his name perfectly, I definitely want to see him do well.
Yeah, he's a legend anyway. So I know all of us short track fans will be pulling for him. Is it Friday night or Saturday night they're running? I can't remember. Saturday. But on Friday night, we got the Wheeler Modified Tour back at Richmond. 30 cars with the entry list. Should be a good show. It always is. A couple guys, or at least one guy in particular that we would expect to be there, is not going to be there, though. Matt Hirschman not on the entry list. Neither is Ryan Preece. You kind of figured Preece would be on there since he's already going to be on the facility. Mm-hmm. But he's not running for whatever reason. I don't have a reason why. There could be a late announcement coming. But, again, that's out of my wheelhouse. I'm not really 100% sure. But a little surprising to see him on there, and some other typical regulars. A lot of Southern guys running this race, which makes sense because it's in their zip code. But, 30 cars is still a pretty decent car count for the Modified Tour. And I'm looking forward to watching that on Friday night on Flow Racing, or it'll end up on USA or, I don't know, the Food Network or wherever the fuck these races get shown now. So. That's the short track septic tank. We're going to go ahead and flush her down right now.
This week, I actually picked the DAR for the week because, again, sure Rob was on tour, and, I'm on social media a good amount, and there was a pretty fun interaction. Well, it's hard to say fun, but so if you guys weren't aware, Josh Williams and his wife had a kid this weekend, and Josh was on baby watch throughout the weekend. He didn't practice or qualify his car at COTA because his wife was giving birth, which... this isn't the first time this has happened. I mean, it happens pretty regularly, honestly, with NASCAR drivers and athletes and whatnot. So, there managed to be a fan that didn't believe all this was happening. Someone by the name of Lot of Miles 24 on Twitter. He responded to an announcement from Bob. So Bob Pockers tweeted at Daniel Hemric will practice and qualify for the colleague car for Josh Williams on Baby Watch. A lot of Miles responded with, "Not on baby watch, pulling a stunt to miss race so he can actually hide from how much he sucks."
Now, Jesus Christ.
Listen.
That made me cough.
calling in general is not having the best season, so let's just say that. And Josh Williams has had a lot of bad luck. You know, yeah. half of the misfortunes on the track have not been his fault. No. And
yeah, still not a great start, but
not a great start. But again, to blame Baby Watch or anything for his you know, poor performance on the track is just some weird behavior. Like, just not even funny, just strange. Like, you're a fucking psychopath. But in saying this, Josh and some of the colleague folks had fun calling this guy out on Twitter and you know, giving him all sorts of responses. So good on him. Josh is one of the good guys. We all like him. And for anybody, it could have been any single driver that this person use this taunt with. Like, it wouldn't have, could have been fucking Corey LaJoy, and it still would have been a valid Dart for the
real
week,
dumb
call.
Yeah.
So that's the Dart for the week this week. I'm sure somebody else will say something stupid because racing fans do that every single day.
That's what we do. Say dumb shit.
Before we get on to the main event, though, it looks like we did have a question this week from J.D. Ellis, who I've talked to him a few times. I know he's a listener.
Yeah, good dude. Yeah, he hits us up a lot.
Now, this will definitely be for True Love, and Rob, you've been to Martinsville, too, but he basically asks, y'all have any Martinsville tips? Have my wife talked into trucks and maybe Xfinity since we'll be driving through the area, so take it away.
Well, I'll tell you this. There ain't much to do in Martinsville.
Well, there's a couple things. Do you have any tips you want to throw out there, Rob, before I start mine?
Well, it is a track you can bring whatever you want into, as long as there's no glass involved, so that's always fun. That's most NASCAR tracks, but always be sure to check the policies before you go, and don't listen to us just on this show, you know, a few weeks removed. But, you know, Martinsville is it's a cool place. It's definitely a cool place. I recommend getting there a little early and walk around the cars part. I don't know if they're still doing this, so a
website,
but getting down on the front stretch was only $20. And honestly, I just walked down there, even though I bought the wristband. I kind of walked on there and they didn't seem to care. You get real close to the cars, the driver intros are down there, or historically they have been. And I don't know if they do it on the Xfinity truck portion of the show for the weekend, but on the Cup night, they definitely do. And man, that is a cool experience to be down on the Martinsville surface and kind of take that place in. I've said this on the show before, one of my favorite things, opportunity to kind of walk the track and all that and surface and sign the wall and do all that fun stuff. I recommend taking it. And there's no cheaper place to do that than Martinsville, at least historically speaking anyway. So hopefully I didn't take that away. Nice for you. What do you got, True Love?
I mean, I think you pretty much covered it. There's at Martinsville, there's not one bad seat in the whole place. So you can sit anywhere you sit. It's going to be a great seat. Try out every hot dog stand because they all kind of make their hot dogs a little different. So
yeah,
just do a little tour of them and see which one you like best.
Yeah, I will say they are
the same shit.
They are good.
They are good. Yeah, you'll eat lots of them. Also, if you're there, like, Xfinity night, truck night, whatever, you can just walk into the campground that's on the backside of the track where the house is up on the hill and the train track runs. Anyone can walk up in there and just walk around and party with whoever's camping. And they have, like, a little stage set up with, like, concerts. So if you're in the mood to party after the race, just walk over to the campground.
Yeah.
Now, if you're looking for stuff to do outside of the track in Martinsville, there is a Mexican restaurant that we always eat at called Mi Ranchito, and I have met Chase Elliott there, I've met Blaney there, I've met Logano there. I saw Stuart Friesen there last time I was there, but I didn't talk to him. There's also a shitty little bowling alley in town that we went to one time. I feel like last time we went, they were remodeling it, so it might be a little nicer now. But a lot of teams go there, like Saturday night. There's also a Applebee's in Martinsville, and our buddy Josh met or Chase and Blaney and Bubba there one time. So
yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I'll definitely say this: if you don't want to eat hot dogs, it's probably a good idea to. I mean, it's pretty standard concessions there, so bring your own food. It's always nice to do that because there's not a whole lot going on in that area.
No.
You get out to welcome.
It's not that far, right? It's like, what, an hour? Go to the RCR?
Yeah, a little over an hour. Yeah. There's also Stuart, Virginia, with the Wood Brothers Museum. It's not too far from there.
That's right. So. Yeah, real pretty area. So free to see it. If you've never been to Martinsville before, yeah, just make sure you go there. That's pretty much my only real advice, I guess. If you had to take one thing from all of this, just soak it in.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I, like I said, I have no tips. I've never been here. So hopefully that answered your question, JD. But eat the hot dogs. Don't be a weirdo. Everybody.
Yeah. Drop the fucking hot dog.
So.
Kobayashi, those things.
Yeah, there you go. So this week, there's no video of the week because I wanted to do something a little bit different. I had been sent the link to this record by a handful of people, both NASCAR fans and just friends of mine that know I like NASCAR. And it's a record called I Am the Intimidator. Mm-hmm. And it's by a guy named Andrew Starstad, Andrew Strongstad, who's based out of Portland. Seems to be just an all-purpose metal guy from looking at his social media. He also seems to do death metal Devo covers, which, you know, that's a thing if you're into that. But, you know, we talked about it last week. He decided to write a concept metal on Dale Earnhardt. And one thing that I did not notice in my initial research is not only is this a concept record about Dale Earnhardt, but it is a concept record about Dale Earnhardt's last day on Earth. So that is one thing that as you go through the lyrics, you kind of get that idea. At least I did. But it wasn't something I figured out until I was listening to it. But 6 songs. It's on Spotify. It's on YouTube. It's on anywhere you can think to listen to it. He did produce some cassette tapes, and he is putting out a vinyl version of this, which I will be picking up. Won't be out till later in the year, but I definitely plan on getting this because I actually enjoyed this. So this is one of those deals where anytime a song, somebody sends me a song about NASCAR, a song about racing, and we've talked about racing music here in the past. Some of them are good. Some of them are kind of cheesy novelty stuff. Say, for instance, Charlie Daniels actually wrote a song about Dale Earnhardt the year that he died. And if you want a real on-the-nose cornball fucking NASCAR song, go listen to that. This record.
Dare talk about Charlie Daniels like that.
Oh,
hell no.
Charlie Daniels can Charlie Daniels can eat shit, but
oh boy.
Listen
to Knight Rider. Great record.
Let's not dive into that.
Yeah, let's anyways, we're not talking about Charlie Daniels.
Listen to Knight Rider. It's a great record.
This is about I Am the Intimidator. So this is a six track record, and it was described as thrash metal in some of the write-ups about this, but I don't know if I would call it that. I would definitely call it more heavy metal, bordering power metal. I would say there's a lot of Priest, Maiden, Dio, that type of sound in all these tracks, with a little bit of thrash mixed in, even a hint of early Slayer and some of the dude screams. Dude kind of sounds like very young Tom Araya at times, but I guess we'll go over track by track and we'll talk about what you think about this, because it is a fantasy concept. This is obviously not a breakdown of how Dale felt on Daytona Pit Row and everything that happened that day. It is definitely more of a fantasy of Dale going into battle, which is one way to look at a race. But this record was done at a tribute to Dale, and we mentioned the quote last week. I mean, the guy was not trying. He originally was thinking about making a joke record, but once he kind of realized the gravity of Dale Earnhardt and his aura and his presence in not just racing, but in general pop culture, that would be a disservice to Dale to make this a joke. So instead, he made it a half hour power metal fucking beatdown. I don't really know where to start here, but the opening track is called No Regrets. And this is like a 2-minute instrumental with really just Dale Earnhardt quotes interspersed throughout. At one point, Dale actually mentions having regrets if racing was to end tomorrow or if he didn't get to accomplish all the things that he wanted to. But he did accomplish all those things and ended up, you know, going out the way he did. But it really kind of set the tone for the overall sound of the record. Let you guys take some – give your commentary on these tracks.
So my perspective is I didn't do the research you did on this or like read about it. I just kind of listened to it. I guess I'll say my overarching commentary.
Hello?
Call there. I'm still here. Sorry. Somebody call me. Fucking assholes. It's Applebee's time. I don't fucking answer my – I don't play with my phone at the dinner table, goddammit. It's really well put together. Dude's definitely talented. I definitely enjoyed it. But as far as the tracks are concerned, I'll save my commentary mostly for the end here, and I'll just kind of interject if you don't mind.
Okay.
My one criticism is going to be kind of overarching for the whole thing.
Okay, we'll save that to the end. Ashley, I know you didn't have too many notes about these tracks.
I don't know what to say about it because I don't listen to metal. In my 20s, I hung out with a bunch of metalheads, and I would go to see their bands play all the time, and those were fun, but I don't listen to metal at home by choice other than that. I don't know.
Some of this stuff is definitely not in the realm that I typically put on. Like, I do love metal, but I'm a little bit more of a dumb Crowbar kind of guy, you know, like Acid Bath, New Orleans kind of shit. That's mostly what goes on my turntable these days, but this stuff is pretty good, man.
I can admit that this probably would have resonated with me a lot more 10, 15 years ago. My days of going to shows and listening to more heavy stuff at a regular basis is those days have kind of passed. But once in a while, I'll still throw on some old heavy shit. And this definitely would have been in rotation, you know, years ago. Whereas now it's a neat novelty to listen to. And honestly, Gasoline, which is the next track, is actually pretty good. And that was one that I'll give him a shout out. Shelby Cobras from a band called Vastum, which is like a San Francisco death metal band. Not a guy I figured, like, I know him through message boards and stuff. Not a guy I figured would be like, oh, this is awesome. But he actually really liked this track. And this is definitely the single.
For sure.
There's an official video for it.
Yes, there's an official video, which I will definitely be posting a clip of. This is definitely the closest to a thrash song with maybe a hint of industrial as far as how the lyrics are delivered. But this one is really just about setting the stage for that day. Dale getting, you know, getting the car all gassed up. He's all fucking, you know, fired up and ready to get on the track and show everybody what he's got. The lyrics are about leaving people in his smoke. And then also he gets into hanging himself and showing the world that he died for them and wielding the number of gold. So... Again, this is very fantasy heavy as far as the lyrics for this.
Yeah, that's not actually NASCAR history, but
no. Well, Dale arguably did die for us, and he did wield the number of gold. Is one way to put it. So the next
no one's
track
arguing
is Eat My
Smoke. Thing.
Yes. The next track is Eat My Smoke. This one's a little bit slower, and I thought this had a bit more of a Dio sound to it.
With this one, the whole time I was listening to it, I could only think that Tony Stewart, some kind of kink related, Eat My Smoke. I don't know.
That's your filthy mind taking that certain place.
Also period correct. So another point for the accuracy here. Yeah.
With the lyrics, though, for this, I mean, again, it's kind of more of a warning the other drivers as to get out of his way. But later on in the song, it kind of foreshadows what's going to happen at the end of this day. The chorus goes, smoke through the cause of pain, smoke through great acclaim, smoke, there sits a wall made of smoke and blasphemy. Through the throes of fame and great acclaim, there sits a wall, the last domain. So that's what Dale's up against at the end of this race. So a little bit foreshadowing what's going to happen. The next track is the title track, I Am the Intimidator. This one is way more on the power metal side, way more Iron Maiden-ish. Lyrically, the song seems to be all about the risks that Dale is taking on by entering this race and competing. I don't really know what else to say about it, but that's what I took from it. I don't know if you guys have anything else to note about this one.
Nope, not really.
Nope.
Okay. I don't mean to sound so dismissive, but nope, you summed that up. So
that's fine.
Tony Stewart note was the last of my notes. Okay.
So this next one here, this is where it happens. I Am Here Now. This is very clearly the end of the race and Dale meeting his end. It's a very brooding intro. This is about Dale hearing the crowd and doing what he can to win for them going into battle. But towards the end, there's a kind of a weird little Janis Joplin take another little piece of my heart lyrical bite there. But it's also about Dale cooking up and eating the concrete, which to me is metaphorically him eating the concrete at the end of that race. And the final track, I gotta pull up the lyrics here because I didn't save my notes, but the last track is called Crying from the Abyss, which, I mean, that title makes total fucking sense. You know, this to me is Dale looking from the afterlife and seeing the aftermath of what happens. There's a very funny lyric that I caught here. Let's see here. This to me, I'm interpreting this as Dale pining to be back on the track and pining to be alive, but he has to watch from the distance. And he's the rumble of competition, the beast of competition is what he talks about. Through the distance, I see it, a wrinkle through time. I can feel it, a relapse of the beast inside. If you know it, don't show it. Try to stay alive. Otherwise, you can own it and loan it to your pit crew. So, again, just really a lot of interpretation going on with this record to see this as like Dale's final day of competition, Dale's final day of battle. But I don't know. Overall, I thought this was very good. Again, not necessarily a record I would play too often, but I will probably listen to this from time to time. And like I said, I definitely plan on getting the record. I'm a person that I kind of view this, I don't know how to really word it, but like the way pop culture and the way people who kind of almost clown on NASCAR, I don't want to say use Dale's name in vain because that's actually making him out to be a god, and I don't really necessarily think of him that way, but there's a lot of people that like make jokes about Dale and like
I don't think that's an unfair way to frame this, though, to be honest. Yeah. He is really highly regarded in pop culture and
for sure,
cartoony way, and to see somebody kind of understand just how serious that dude was to himself and his competitors and a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of reverence in there, and I appreciate that.
That's where compared to a lot of other things where you see Dale's name mentioned by people who aren't necessarily NASCAR fans, that annoys me, but this worked, and I think, like Rob said, you can tell the guy was actually trying to paint a captivating story with how this was all written. Part of me also believes that maybe he wrote this about something else and kind of changed the lyrics a bit to make them about Dale. But either way, I think it accomplishes what he set out to accomplish, and I think it's a pretty decent record. And also, we shouldn't forget the fact that this guy did everything himself. Like, he played all the instruments, wrote all the lyrics, so this is a one-man band. He does apparently plan on taking it on the road, which if that happens, I will definitely go out of my way to see it. And when asked about potential other concept records or even potential NASCAR records, he had this to say, and let me pull up my quote here. I've been researching Dick Trickle lately, and he and his family have had a very interesting history. So if there's a Dick Trickle concept album coming out, you know we'll be reviewing that. But, I would definitely like to. I kind of almost wanted to interview this guy, and maybe I'll reach out to him. I definitely plan on tagging him in this post, so I'm sure he'll see it, maybe listen to this episode. But I would love to kind of pick his brain about this more, because overall, it seems like he has a good sense of humor. If you look at his Instagram, it's just a lot of metal humor and jokey shit on there, which some metal people take themselves very seriously. So for him to not be like that is very encouraging to me.
Another point in the good column. Yeah.
I did scroll down through his Instagram, and he made like a little like promo video for this album. And it starts off with, "Do you like NASCAR, smooching, beer, and metal?" And, you know, I like 3 out of 4 of those things, so I can get on board.
Which one is the one you don't like?
Metal.
Oh, the metal. Okay, I was going to say. Yeah, there we go. All right. That's fair.
But 3 out of 4 ain't bad.
Not bad at all.
His Instagram, it's Holy Book of Wang, which I'm sure we will tag him in our post later about this. But absolutely. But now, Rob,
and he won't untag like Nick Sanchez did.
No, I don't think he will.
I guarantee he won't. But, Rob, as the only actual musician on this show, I think you have to give some expert analysis of this.
Again, I think it's really well performed. Dude's definitely very talented. To me, and this is my one criticism of the whole thing, and you kind of got into it. He's not a NASCAR guy. It's very obvious, but which is nothing wrong with that. But, you know, songwriters, myself included, I do this shit. A lot of really good songwriters, better songwriters than me, do the same thing where they'll take a concept and kind of mine it and write songs, and it doesn't necessarily land where you think it's going to, but that is the setting for it. I kind of get this vibe from it, you know, with a couple of exceptions, like mentioning a pit crew and shit like that. This could have been about anything. You know, this is just some fantasy metal kind of shit. So as a fan and as someone who kind of knows the story, I have a little bit of a hard time seeing this as anything other than just the number 3 slapped onto a metal project, you know, even though that was the intention. I don't take offense to it. I think it's good, and you should buy it. If you guys like it, please do. It's definitely very quality, and this dude knows what he's doing. But as far as it being a concept record, I have a hard time really accepting it as such. But, you know, again, I got no problem with it. And, again, I kind of appreciate, as I already said, of him not really knowing much about it and then actually doing the research and realizing, oh, I gotta change this up a little bit. So good for him for having some reverence for it. And again, I don't know if I'll be buying it, but I definitely enjoyed listening to it, and you should definitely check it out. It's quality shit. And I'll pay attention to what he's got coming down the pipe for sure.
As part of pre-ordering the record, he is actually going to record a thank you Instagram video to us. So I'm willing to bet he will listen to this. I would hope, at least. I don't know how many people are reviewing this record, but I hope he checks it out.
But in closing, great job, bud. I enjoyed the shit out of it. That's my official review.
I was very entertained by the music video. We'll see.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
So, all right, we'll give that a 1.5 thumbs up. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Okay.
2 thumbs. Okay.
But next week we're going to be back to video of the week, and this week, since NASCAR is in Richmond, for some reason I had Dave Marcus on my mind. Richmond being the last track that Dave won a cup race at, so. There aren't as many really interesting older videos about Dave Marcus on YouTube, but recently the NASCAR YouTuber Stapleton42, whatever the hell his name is, he took a trip to Dave's shops in Wisconsin, and there's a good hour video of his trip there and Dave talking about his old stuff, and I skimmed through it. It seems pretty interesting, and anytime I get to hear Dave Marcus tell stories, that's always cool. And I am already inspired. I've been wanting to go to Wisconsin for quite some time to visit my buddy Greg out there. And there's a good chance I do that this summer, because I want to go to Dave's shop and say hi to him and check this shit out myself. So that'll be on the playlist. So check that out. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Stapleton's work. I know not everybody is, but I really enjoy his shit. You really get some interesting nuggets out of him. There's a good one with the Morgan McClure guys. That I really enjoyed. Talk about the X-pipe setup on the car that won the Daytona 500 and all that. It's pretty pretty cool shit. So if you're into really, really nerdy stuff, I recommend digging in his channel. This is a pretty good entry point. I'm looking forward to watching it.
Cool.
I will say that is, speaking of Instagram tags, that's one that I won't be able to tag on Instagram because he has me blocked because his girlfriend's crazy. That's a whole other story.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
You know, I've never spoken one word to that person in my entire life. But
look out.
The life of a NASCAR social media influencer.
Yeah, yeah. The internet can be weird.
Well, like I said, NASCAR is going to be in Richmond this weekend. Richmond has not really had a great history of racing the last handful of years. Hopefully this new package helps a little bit. And again, Easter Sunday, everybody will be full of candy and God knows what else. So that'll be a nice way to wind down the weekend. So we'll all be watching that. I think we got one more weekend of shit weather here in Ohio before racing starts. So I got to wait it out this weekend and get drenched again. But are you guys doing any racing stuff this weekend or what?
Not yet, no.
No, not yet.
No, the icebreaker in a couple weeks is going to be my first trip back. I'm really looking forward to that. You'll be hearing all about that on the show here. I'll be there on Saturday for the Tri-Track show. But other than that, it's going to pick up. So just not yet. It's cold as fuck right now.
Yep. Yeah, well, I guess with that, I don't know. Is there anything else we want to wrap up on? Or are we getting the check here, folks?
We should get the check. There is some racing this weekend on Flow. Smart Modifieds are going to be back on Saturday, I believe. Let me just pull that up real quick so I get the date right. Again, the Southern Modifieds have been really having a sort of a resurgence here with the Smart Tour. They're going to be at Tri-County on Saturday. That race is at 2. I don't know if that bumps up against the Xfinity race, but I don't know. Open up your laptop or another screen or borrow a TV from your neighbor or whatever. And if you want the little special link, again, it's still ripping, so hit us up.
There you go. Well, as always, you can follow us at Meet Me at Applebee's on Instagram, Meet Me at the Bees on Twitter. I'm Speedway Screens on all the things. SpeedwayTSJ.etsy.com is the store. You can block Snake Mountain True Love on Instagram if you want. And Rob, go ahead and give us your plugs this week.
Chris Gordon Official on Instagram. Also, my band's called These Wild Plains. Again, I can't thank you all enough for coming out to the shows with Charlie Marie over the past week.
Banger.
And I'm sure we'll be announcing some stuff in the, next couple months. We're going to lay low for a second and write some songs and do all that stuff that bands do at home. But again, thank you so much. And if you came out and watched the show or you want to come see us, just stay tuned on our socials. We'll be announcing some stuff at some point in the near future. And that's all I got.
I say you take this time to write your own competing Dale Earnhardt concept record, and then when I book you guys and I
play together,
to play in Cleveland, you guys can battle out.
Yeah.
I would play that
country versus metal
Dale off
tonight. Oh fuck!
I'm into that, so
yeah,
we'll talk. My people will talk to your people and his people. We'll make it work. So.
There you go. Well, Rob's going to go work on that, and the check is here. So thanks for joining us at Applebee's, and we'll talk to you next week.
Oh, yeah.